Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel in a brand new week. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we'd like you to be a part of today's broadcast. We invite you to call with any Bible question or personal or family issue you'd like to discuss. The number is 844-322-2742. That's good, of course, in the U.S. and Canada, as always. Again, 844-322-2742. Call now, because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob, and happy Monday to you.
Thank
it's good
you.
To be back in studio. Gina
yes,
and I
indeed.
And the family had a little vacation time last week, and that was very wonderful. We had a great time. And
we missed you. Andrew held forth very nicely, but we missed you, my friend.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Sure glad Andrew was available, and
yeah.
We offered some great teaching programs on law and grace.
Right.
And those are so important because it really is the foundation for our freedom in Christ. If we're trying to gain righteousness through obedience to the law, we're going to enslave ourselves to self-effort.
Sure.
We're always going to be giving in to the desires of the flesh, the temptations of the world. Why? Because we're trying to fight against those things.
Yeah.
And when we're trying to fight against those things are eventually going to consume us.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be aware of that. So that's why those messages last Monday and Tuesday were so vitally important on the difference between law and grace.
Yeah.
And in this good news of Jesus Christ, we're living in the grace of God. We're living by the power of the grace of God. Now, Paul addresses this in his letter to the Philippians, and that's our special resource that we are making available to our listeners this month. It is a teaching CD series entitled Stand,
right.
But it takes a very deep look into Philippians 3 and Philippians 4. And these two chapters talk about genuine contentment, genuine joy, things that we can experience by grace through faith in Jesus. But it begins with an understanding of the difference between law and grace. And in verse 9 of chapter 3, Paul puts it this way, and be found in him. So he is saying that I had an incredible resume as far as the law was concerned. I was faultless. There was no one that could boast like I could as far as in the flesh. But I count all of that as loss for the sake of knowing Jesus Christ. And to be found in him, this is verse 9, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law. Well, there's no righteousness that can come from the law unless you are perfectly obedient to it 100% of the time from the time you're born to the time you die. Because the scripture is very clear, if you violate one aspect of the law, you have violated all of it. If you fail in one at one point in your life, you get a zero.
Yep.
The law does not grade on the curve. You either pass or fail, and your first sin means that you are a failure. So there is no righteousness found in the law. Now, if you don't know that, and you continue to try to gain righteousness through obedience to the law, you're not going to experience genuine contentment and joy. What you will experience is frustration, failure, defeat, guilt, fear, and shame. Now, that's not the abundant Christian life.
No.
That's not freedom as the Word of God has laid it out. So we have to recognize that there is no righteousness found in the law for human beings. There's no way we can earn righteousness through human effort. We see that time and time and time again in Paul's letters. No one will be declared righteous through obedience to the law. So Paul is saying, I want to be found in Jesus, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. So what is Paul saying here? Well, Paul is saying this, that if we are going to be declared righteous, we're going to have to receive that righteousness as a gift. It is by grace through faith. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 3 that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but we are freely justified by grace. It is a gift. So Paul is saying, hey, I let go of trying to earn my righteousness through obedience to the law. I count that as rubbish so that I could be found in Christ with a righteousness that comes from God and is through faith. Yeah. So if we're going to experience genuine contentment and joy, we have to start with this idea of righteousness. What does God think about me? What is my standing in the sight of God? Well, if I'm depending upon the law, my standing is not very good. But if I am depending on this gift of righteousness, then my standing is secure.
Yes.
I have the very righteousness of God that has come to me through faith. And when we know that we are righteous in the sight of God, that frees us to enjoy Christ, that relationship with Christ, and that frees us to experience genuine contentment and joy as human beings.
Thanks for those thoughts, Bob, as we get this edition of Basic Gospel underway. And friends, thank you for joining us for this edition. We have calls coming in already, but we still have plenty of time and plenty of open lines. We'd love for you to be a part of the broadcast, and you can do that by calling right now, 844-322-2742 in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. And thanks to all of you who support Basic Gospel every month. You make it possible for us to be here every weekday proclaiming the good news of the love, grace, and life of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you're new to Basic Gospel, we hope you'll keep listening and allow the truth of God's Word to have a place in your heart and your spirit. And we hope that many of you will come alongside of us and support Basic Gospel as we go forward month by month. When you make your gift this month, as Bob was saying earlier, request your copy of his 4-message series called Stand and Learn to Experience Genuine Contentment and Joy in the Christian Life. Stand. It's our way of saying thank you for supporting Basic Gospel with your prayers and with your gifts. You can donate now or anytime at basicgospel.net, and we would love for you to partner with us. Again, donate at basicgospel.net. Well, once again, the phone number, 844-322-2742. It's open for you right now, 844-322-2742. Bob?
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to our phone lines and talk with Henry, who's listening to us in San Bruno, California. Hi, Henry. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hi, how are you? It's great talking to you guys. I love you guys, Andrew Farley and all you guys. You bringing in the Clash of the Covenants is a beautiful message that we need to hear today.
Thank you.
I'm wondering, because this seems like such a new teaching. I mean, Andrew Farley and you guys, I mean, you've been teaching this for a long time, but it seems like when I try to share this with people, they just don't see it. But it's clear to me that Jesus was preaching two covenants. I mean, he'd say that even if you're angry, you're going to come under judgment. But he says elsewhere that you'll never come under judgment if you believe on him. Elsewhere, he says if you call somebody fool, you're in danger of hellfire. But then he says, if you believe on him, you'll never perish. Elsewhere, he says, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. But elsewhere, he says that every sin will be forgiven except blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. He says that by every word you will be condemned. And elsewhere, he says that you'll never be condemned if you believe on him, that only those who don't believe will be condemned. So, I mean, and he talks about you got to be more righteous than the Pharisees. But even in the same sermon, he goes into to seek first the righteousness of God, and all these other things will be added. And we know that we get righteousness of God imputed unto us as a new covenant believer. So it just seems that, like, people don't see that when Jesus was walking on this earth, he was actually preaching two covenants. He was still living under law, and he couldn't speak to them like they were under grace, because they weren't. So grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, but the law came by Moses, and they're still under that law. Jesus said, I did not come to abolish the law, I came to fulfill it. So he had to fulfill the law, and he even said that every jot and tittle you're still under every dot. You got to cross every dot, you got to cross every T, you dot every I until it's fulfilled. And he didn't fulfill it until he went to the cross and said it's finished. So I just wanted to get your take on this. Why does it seem like a new teaching? I believe that this is why most people get. I still hear sermons today preached from the pulpit where they still preach that if you don't forgive, if you don't forgive people, you can lose your salvation. You have to forgive people. That's you know, and it seems like they're getting that from Jesus, you know, because Jesus preached that kind of message.
Well, Henry, it's a great question, and we have to, as far as the teaching of Jesus, have to understand the context of all the things that he brought to bear as far as his teaching was concerned. And there's a point where you have to realize that you need to be saved. If you don't know that you need to be saved, you're never going to turn to the Savior for salvation. Well, how are you going to know that you need to be saved until you see your own sinful condition, until you see your own spiritual death? And I think Jesus was trying to show the Jewish leaders and the Jewish people that even though they've had this history where they've been given the covenants, they had the tabernacle, they had the temple, they had the law, they had all of these things, they were no different than the Gentiles in the sense that they were sinners in need of salvation. So Jesus was saying to them, hey, if you want to be a part of the kingdom of God, there's only one way to enter into that kingdom, and that is through new birth. You can't rely on the fact that you're Jewish. You can't rely on the fact that you're from this particular bloodline. You have to be born again, and that new birth is going to come through faith in Jesus Christ and receiving Jesus Christ. Anyone who receives him, he is given the right to become a child of God. So Jesus was doing a lot of teaching to help people identify their true spiritual condition, to see that they had missed the mark, and to say in their hearts and minds that we truly are sinners in need of a Savior. And when they got to that, then they could recognize that salvation was going to come through the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They could receive him for who he is and what he came to do. So that's important, and that's important for people to understand today. I think when you truly, Henry, understand your spiritual condition or what it was before knowing Christ, that you were dead in trespasses and sins, then the grace of God is the only answer. The new covenant is the only answer. Why? Because that new covenant is a covenant of life. So what do dead men need? What do dead women need? They need life. And that life is found in one place and one place alone, and that is Jesus Christ. Now, why people have a hard time with that, Henry, is because they think that they are basically okay. They just need a little forgiveness, just a Band-Aid here, a Band-Aid there, and they're going to be okay. Or they think that God grades on the curve, and so they're hoping their good works are going to outweigh their bad works. And so they're relying upon themselves to work their way into heaven or to work their way into a right standing with God. And that gets back to what we were talking about at the top of the hour. We're not going to gain righteousness through obedience to the law or human effort. We're going to have to receive that as a gift. And the only way we're going to be put in that position where we can receive it as a gift is to realize that we are hopeless apart from that gift. And that gift is the new covenant. That gift is the gift of grace. Does that make sense, Henry?
Yes, it does. And it just seems like when people emphasize that you have to forgive, you have to repent, you have to confess. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. It gets down to how much do I have to do, because you know, you think you might have done enough, and then something else is put out there that you need to do. And you have to realize what Jesus said, you have to be as perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. That's going to bury all of us, that we'll never be able to do enough to achieve perfection, to reach that goal. We can't do enough. And what Jesus was saying is exactly that. You're not going to be able to do enough.
Yeah, and Hebrews 10:14 says that we have been perfected forever in Christ, right?
That's the good news of this new covenant.
And that's why I can come boldly to the throne of grace and receive mercy and grace anytime I need it, anytime I sin. I can just, I don't have to, you know, grovel in the dust thinking that he's imputing my sins.
Yeah, you don't have to jump through religious hoops. You don't have to go through religious formulas. You're just already in his presence. His presence is with you. You can just talk to him.
It just seems like a lot of people can't get past this fact that not only is he not imputing your sins, but he actually imputed his righteousness so we can stay holy before him. It just seems like people are stuck in that place, and they just.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We have to realize that we have been given the gift of righteousness that has been imputed to us, and as a result, we stand before God justified by faith.
Henry, good to hear from you. Great question, and keep listening and call us again. It is Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Bob Davis here, and we would love to hear from you. 844-322-2742 is the number to dial. Again, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Kitchener, Canada, and talk with Kat. Hi, Kat.
Hey, Kat.
Hey, everybody, Bob and Bob. It's been a little while. My question is, and of course, I think I shared this with you maybe a little while ago. I don't remember when, but I live in a very, very bad neighborhood, very tough. And I have been struggling with just this deeper assurance that I'm all right. I'm saved, and I have been struggling a lot with oppression and just with the street people and everything like that, like living with them, you know, like they come and go. But I sprained my ankle almost 3 weeks ago too, and so I've been laid up for a while. I didn't really share this with the lady on the other end, but I guess I'm just really struggling with needing just more, I think, in a sense, the presence of God within me, like reassuring me that everything is going to turn out, everything is going to be okay. And I am on a waiting list to get into something better. I'm going to be 63 on Friday. So I guess I'm just, that's basically what I've been struggling with a lot lately. And I know that it's not necessarily we have to feel the Lord, but I just find sometimes just more of his assurance that he's really there. I'm going to be okay. Everything is going to be all right. And
Kat, I think that gets back to this question. Is he taking care of me right now? Is he taking care of me, at this very moment? Your needs are met. You hope for a better situation as far as a better living situation. Things seem to be stymied there. They're not moving forward like you would like them to do. So you're wondering, if this is ever going to change, if you're ever going to get out of that situation. And those are thoughts that are going to kind of rob you of joy that you can experience right now at this present moment. So we have, as human beings, we've been given the ability to kind of look out into the future. We've been given the ability to look back into our past. And usually when we choose to do that, when we choose to employ those abilities, when we look forward to our future, it's negative, it's dark, it's bleak, it's hopeless, it's a tunnel with no light at the end. And so when we look forward and see that negative scenario in our minds, it causes us to feel negative emotions. That's just how we're geared. That's just how God has wired us. So whatever we're thinking, that's what we're going to be feeling. So if we're looking in the future saying, hey, I think I'm going to be stuck in this living situation. I don't think it's ever going to get better. Well, your feelings are going to respond appropriately. You're going to feel down. You're going to feel bad about the future. You're going to have a sense of hopelessness. And in that, you lose the joy of Christ's presence at this very moment. You can also look back in your past and look at back and see some things that you did back there, and you think, wow, how could God love me if in doing all of those things? So we have to kind of look at our future, look at our past, and say, I'm going to see both through the lens of the gospel, through his death, his burial, his resurrection. He's taken care of my past. I've been cleansed. I've been made righteous. I stand before him right now as holy in his sight. And because of the resurrection, regardless of what happens here and now, regardless of what happens next week or the following week, I have great hope because I know he's already taken care of my future. One day I'm going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. So knowing that hope can keep me focused on what's happening right now and giving me the ability to say thank you. And that's what it gets down to, Kat. Are you willing to say thank you for the fact that you're alive spiritually, that Christ lives in you, that your sins are forgiven, and that you stand before him as a righteous person? If you're willing to say thank you, and that just becomes your way of life, this way of gratitude, then I think you're going to be able to enjoy his presence more than just looking at all the problems that you're in. Okay, Kat?
Yeah. Maybe you could just keep me in prayer about learning to be patient, because I know that I struggled also with codependency and stuff, and I'm slowly learning that. I believe the Lord is showing me that.
Yeah.
And separation disorder too, because when I was...
Well, you've got all these things, Kat, that you keep bringing up as problems, and why do you keep looking at those when you have the great opportunity to look at Jesus, to keep your eyes on Jesus? That's a much better place to keep those eyes. Okay? Well, thanks for your call, Kat. Always good to hear from you.
Real quickly to this call that came in off hours.
Good morning. This is Candace again. I just had another question for y'all, and I just want to let you know I really appreciate all of y'all always answering my questions. But is it biblical for a woman to baptize a man in church? Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Well, thanks, Candace. As far as the Word of God is concerned, it says nothing about who can do a baptism. Baptism really isn't a part of the gospel. It's a celebration that we can engage in. It's a profession or a confession, a public confession to the body of Christ that you're now identified with them because you're identified with Jesus, and it's an opportunity for people to celebrate. So the Word of God doesn't say only men could do that. It doesn't say only women could do that. As a matter of fact, it really doesn't say one way or the other. So in a situation like that, the Word of God gives us liberty. So if that's something that you've been asked to do or would like to do, then you have liberty to do it, to help somebody celebrate the fact that they are in Christ, that they have been identified with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection.
Well, we certainly love hearing from you, our listeners, and for those of you who call live, we love for you to be a part of the live broadcast so that you can pose your questions directly to us, and that's why we're here live every day. Remember, the phone number 844-322-2742 is available 24 hours a day for you, our listeners. And thanks for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel, and to all of you who support Basic Gospel with your prayers and with your gifts. It's because of you that we're here every day proclaiming the grace of Jesus Christ our Lord. If you're new to Basic Gospel, we ask you to come alongside of us and stand with us to proclaim this message of grace in Jesus. You can donate now or anytime at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.